Grace to you and peace in the name of our Savior Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation are those words from Jesus that I mentioned a bit earlier, words from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the work themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. These words of Jesus from our text are part of what Martin Luther once called the best and most comforting sermon given by Christ our Lord on earth. I would agree with that statement. I believe these are among the most, if not the most, comforting words Jesus ever spoke. And that's saying something, because Jesus spoke many, many words of comfort. I have used these words many times to comfort people when they were on their deathbed. I will use these words oftentimes at a funeral to comfort the friends and family members of one who has just recently died. These words give us everlasting hope, comfort, and peace. They are the very words of life. But do you realize that these incredible words of comfort to us who believe are also seen by many as being very controversial words? Why? Well, most people don't have a problem with Jesus or his followers saying things like Jesus is a Savior, or Jesus is a way to heaven, or Jesus is a God. But have you ever heard thoughts expressed like this before? There are many paths to God, but ultimately they all lead to the same destination. Or one similar that says this: it doesn't really matter what religion you are, since we're all worshiping the same God anyway. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you've probably heard thoughts like that before. You've probably heard people express opinions or beliefs like that. It's very common, extremely common. Those are nice thoughts. They sound good. Any way leads to heaven. That sounds great. But is it true? Never mind what I say, or what you say, or what the world says. What does Jesus say? Notice first what Jesus does not say. Jesus does not say here, "I am one of the ways, I am one of the truths, I am one of the givers of life." No, Jesus clearly says in our text that he is the only way to the Father, and the only way to heaven. Listen again to his words. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." As Jesus' followers, then, as his believers, we speak what Jesus says. We believe what Jesus says, so we believe and speak the same thing. Now, Jesus' purpose in speaking these words was, of course, not to pick a fight with the other religions of this world. He was not intentionally doing it to be controversial, even though his words naturally, as Peter said in our reading this morning, would be a stumbling block to many people. He spoke these words on this night, the night before he was crucified, for the purpose of giving comfort, great comfort to his disciples. He was about to be crucified for the entire world's sins. That would be a hard thing for his disciples to see and watch and observe. And so Jesus' words gave them comfort and peace. As he says a little later on in the chapter, peace that the world cannot give. Jesus, peace. The problem for many people is that they can't see past the controversy of Jesus' claim to be the only way to heaven, and they completely miss the comfort that is there in these words. Comfort for our hearts, comfort for our souls. Listen again to those words from the first half of our sermon text. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus makes it very clear in our text not only that he is the only way to the Father, but he says that he is equal with God the Father. And as he says earlier in the Gospel of John, "I and my Father are one." He spends a good portion of the verses of our text explaining this fact to Philip and the rest of the disciples, who apparently hadn't completely understood this concept, that Jesus and the Father are one. And can you blame them? The concept of God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit being all three one is impossible for our minds to fully comprehend and understand as well. Now, we certainly believe it by faith because Jesus himself says it to us, but we can't fully comprehend that with our limited minds. It's something that God must lead our hearts to believe. That's exactly what Jesus does for his disciples in the last half of our text. He says, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the words or works themselves." If Jesus and the Father are one, as Jesus says, then it follows that if you know Jesus, then you know God. And you will one day know heaven. However, if Jesus and God the Father are one, as Jesus says, and your faith has no Jesus, then you have no God. At least not the true God. Ever since the fall into sin, mankind has been searching for that way to God. By nature, human beings would like to believe that our own hearts can come up with some way to either reach God or please him, or be in the place where God dwells someday. Some thoughts that come to our minds and hearts naturally are things like we should work hard enough to please God and one day we will see him. Or one that we mentioned in our text, that no matter what we do, all roads will eventually lead to him in an eternal paradise of some kind. But as we were reminded last Sunday in our reading from Isaiah, the natural inclination of human hearts is not to find the right way, but actually to stray. Listen to these words from Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Not to God's way or Jesus' way, but to our own ways. Left to ourselves, our life is like a maze that has no solution. Our own ways do not lead us to God or to heaven. The prophet Jeremiah reminds us of this truth. He says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jesus actually tells us where these many ways lead us. He says these other ways literally lead to a dead end. He says, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. He also encourages us then to go and enter by the narrow gate. And he refers to himself as that narrow gate. He says that way leads to life. He is that way, the only way to know God and the only way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says that very clearly and plainly in our text. Those are not my words or your words. Those are the words of Jesus himself. He is the way. Because by his sacrifice on the cross, he bridged that unbridgeable gap between God and mankind, taking away that barrier, that chasm that our sins created, and paved the way of heaven for all people. Jesus is the truth. Not just because as the sinless Son of Man, he always speaks the truth. He is truth. He is the embodiment of truth itself. As John put it in his first chapter, he is the Word made flesh, full of grace and truth. He is the truth of God who tells us about himself and how he is the way to heaven. As we mentioned in our children's sermon, like using a map or a GPS. Jesus is, he and his word are that map, that way that points us to eternal life with him. Jesus is the life. Because he is the originator of all life. Again, as John tells us in his first chapter, that all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And through Jesus, true life is given. As we heard last week in our sermon, Jesus said these words in the Gospel of John, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus' death and his resurrection on the cross promise us a life that is never-ending, everlasting. We read again Jesus' familiar words when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. The amazing fact is that Jesus has entrusted you and me with this very way to God. And he has blessed us with faith to believe in him and to believe those words. He's given us the truth of his words that we might have life, everlasting life. And know the way to heaven's mansions. He doesn't want us to keep that message, that great gift to ourselves, however. He wants us to share that way, that truth, and that life with others, so that they too may share heaven with us one day. So may this thought be our comfort, our strength, and our motivation. We know Jesus, therefore we know God. And one day, we will know heaven. Don't take my word for it. Jesus himself says so. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.